Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and RCARE. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to the Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We are in a very energetic space here at the NIC conference, Chicago. There's a lot of energy behind us. There's events taking place. So when you hear this background noise, that's what's going on. We got a guest on today. We're so excited to have this story be told. We have Larson J, and he is with Random Acts of Flowers. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
So you and Josh have known each other for a little while. Josh, tell us how that relationship started, and I can't wait to hear more about Larson's story.
So good question, Lucas. So it actually came about not even about Random Acts of Flowers. So I have known personally as a provider in senior living about, I call it a ministry, but the mission of Random Acts of Flowers, because we were a recipient, our communities, which I'm not going to let the story out of the box yet, but just know it goes back that long. And I was like, what is this all about? Then I actually got to know Larson. So Larson is very influential in our area, our neck of the woods in Knoxville, and got to know him even outside of Random Acts. But huge heart. I can't wait for our audience to hear this very unique mission. But Larson, you know, thank you for taking time. Came all the way up to Chicago to talk with us from Tennessee. And I want our listeners to know more about you and your story and your background before Random Acts and how you got there.
Okay. So before Random Acts, it's interesting. I now run a national organization centered around the giving of flowers. And ironically, I know virtually nothing about flowers because that's not my background. I was originally a film and television producer. So my background was as a producer, producing feature films, television shows, documentaries. That was my passion. It was storytelling at its core. And that came in different forms, whether it be an educational video or a documentary in Nepal, or even a feature film, shot in East Tennessee, or some of our work in Los Angeles. And so that was my world for so long. And I had a great life and a full life and a great career. And really, it led up to 2007. And if I can just get into the story of how it all became. I'm sort of a DIY fix-it guy. I like to just do projects and do it on my own. And I owned a warehouse on the north side of Knoxville that was kind of like my guy oasis, like my getaway from the world, tools and cars and junk and all kinds of stuff. And was just doing a simple DIY project. And early weekend morning, up on the roof, up and down. It's kind of fixing it Florida style, which is like throw a tarp on it and deal with it next year. And, up and down the ladder. And for some reason, on the 15th or 16th time, I stepped on the top of the ladder. The bottom collapsed out from underneath me, and I fell about a story and a half face down onto concrete. And really shouldn't be here today with you here in Chicago. And so really lucky, but, really severe injuries. I broke my left arm, my left wrist, my right wrist, my right elbow, my right femur, my nose, and 10 skull fractures, just like that. And this is ironically the year that I went to, Everest Base Camp on a documentary project, came back just fine. I went to, British Columbia on a helicopter trip, came back just fine. Just all this stuff where you should get injured, but came back fine, and it happened to be this freak accident. But that led me I was in the hospital, a few days in ICU, 10 days on the trauma floor. And that sort of first week of putting your life back together and trying to figure out what the new normal is hard to describe. But one of the things that was really interesting is I got an amazing outpouring of support. And that came in the way of flowers. Now, most guys have never been flowers. Have you guys, either of you, ever received flowers?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
It's just sort of culturally.
I send them to Josh occasionally.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, I mean, occasionally, it's just one of those things that societally it's not, the case. But my support from people, friends, family, people from all over the country that had heard about my accident, it came in the way of flowers. And you know, the first few days were really kind of a fog for me. But after I sort of came to and started to deal with that recovery time, more and more flowers started being delivered, to the point where the florists were kind of joking that all they were doing was driving from their shop to my room because it filled up so fast. And, you know, it also timed really interesting with every time I had a real emotional drop, a really tough time trying to figure out what was, how do I put all this back together? What happened? You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to be different physically? You know, all those things that you deal with in trauma. You know, I was having a real tough time and another couple of bouquets would show up. And by the end of the first week, I kid you not, we had 30, 40 bouquets all over my hospital room. Now, if you've ever been in a hospital room, you know how tiny they are and how bleak, you know, industrial hospitalization is in its colors and its look, its feel, its smell, all that kind of stuff. And those flowers and that outpouring of support essentially turned into a jungle of joy and happiness. And one of the things I'd noticed was the reaction from everybody when they came in the room. So whether it was a doctor or a nurse or even a janitor or somebody dropping off food or somebody that I knew was coming for a visit, the minute somebody stepped in the room, they would perk up. And they would see the flowers, and they would go, oh, my gosh, it would make the room smell better, look better. Everything about it sort of lifted them up emotionally. And it was really amazing that, you know, first week. Now, I don't sit well for very long. I get a little antsy. And so I was really going stir crazy after a week of being in my hospital room and bags and casts and all the other stuff. And I simply asked to get out of my room and kind of get outside or just out of my room. And I finally convinced the nurses and my family to kind of get me in a wheelchair, which took a long time to transfer me in. And when I left my room, which was truly a jungle of joy, you know, and happiness and support and love, I entered that stark industrial environment of hospitalization. And then as I was rolling through the hall of the critical care floor, I just remember seeing how many rooms had no flowers, no plants, no visitors, just absolutely lifeless. And it was such a contrast to my environment. I just said, you know, we got to go back. And it was really a bit of a selfish act to say, this is the right thing to do. I'm not going to ask permission. I'm not going to follow protocol. I just knew it was the right thing to do. I asked to go back. We took all the cards off my flowers. We loaded on my wheelchair, and we just started making deliveries. And that's how Random Acts of Flowers started, from July 29th accident in 2007 to here we are today.
And it's an amazing story, and the fact that now, you know, fast forward, it's like 100,000
a year.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to celebrate our 500,000th delivery to somebody in a healthcare facility, and we're doing over 100,000 a year. So we're, you know, most of our growth is in the last couple, 2-3 years. And we started obviously just as one small organization in Knoxville. It was really during my recovery that I kept thinking about the people I interacted with. And the very first person we ever did a delivery to, I'll never forget. She was right next to me in the room. All week we had heard really awful sounds coming, you know, from next door of pain and suffering. And when we went into that room, it was a woman that was in full sort of headgear traction, you know, really in bad shape, completely alone in a hospital room with no one and nothing. And we gave her a big bouquet of flowers, and she went from the desperate eyes of, I'm done, help me, you know, whatever you don't want to see in somebody's face, to smiling and crying in 2 seconds. And that just made such an impact. And so as I was going through recovery, I kept thinking, okay, somebody must be doing this. It's kind of a no-brainer, right? Food banks, they give their food, you know, to, or grocery stores or retailers or restaurants give their food to food banks and they recycle them. So who's doing this for flowers? Because weddings, funerals, special events, grocery stores, wholesalers, distributors, and no one was. And so I came up with a half clever name and a couple ideas, and a year to the date of my accident, we started as a simple nonprofit organization in Knoxville, Tennessee, and now we're in 4 cities and 4 states and growing it as a nationwide movement.
Well, and so Lucas and our listeners don't have the benefit of having experienced this simple nonprofit mission, because there's nothing simple about what you guys do as far as the process. I firsthand witnessed, I got to go and tour what you guys did or what you do. Talk to our listeners, give them just a little bit of this process and this volunteer team. It was really impressive to see all these volunteers. That was like a team, a large
Absolutely.
Team, only in one of the offices.
Yeah,
there's many of them. but how many volunteer hours, and these people are so happy. And I'll tell you, I want you to touch on the point of the impact you're also making in the lives of the volunteers.
Absolutely. So Random Acts of Flowers is really simple. We are a food bank for flowers. We take flowers that would otherwise be thrown away after a special event, a wedding, grocery store, wholesaler, wherever there's a flower that's used or unused, we take it. Mostly all volunteers run the program, and it comes in and we give that flower a second life. So one of the great things about the giving of flowers is, one, it's a universal gesture that cuts across all races, religion, demographic, income, languages, disabilities. I mean, it is universally something that cuts to the core of humanity. And then on top of that, you know, the giving or the use of flowers usually has meaning and purpose, whether it be a celebration, a remembrance, a wedding, you know, love, whatever the case is. And we're giving it a second chance to give somebody else a thing. So we gather all these flowers. We have volunteers that break them all down to its core materials. We sort of weed out all the stuff that isn't going to last or hasn't lasted yet. We compost all that. It's a 100% recycling program. Then we rebuild it as a brand new bouquet. We put a card on it that's very personalized, and then we go out, and within a 24 to 40 hour period, we've taken those flowers, recycled, repurposed them, and then taken them to patients in that hospital, healthcare facility, nursing home, whatever the case may be. We focus exclusively on the healthcare industry, because I have a big belief that if you can positively impact the mental health and emotional health of somebody, then that ties to the physical health. And so we sort of, you know, our bookends are that, but it's simple in the fact that when the flowers are processed and they walk out the door and our volunteers knock on that door, they say, have a great day, keep smiling, I hope you feel better. Just words of encouragement and a little bit of random acts of kindness.
Yeah.
With flowers.
Well, so as a recipient of Random Acts of Flowers, before I knew you and before I knew this whole mission, I had a small mission-driven, faith-based senior care community, and something as simple as small vases of flowers on the dining room tables. I remember we were just battling with, how do we liven up this dining room for these seniors, which breakfast, lunch, and dinner was like the highlight of their day, and have more than a salt and pepper shaker or this old dead arrangement on the table. And you guys just magically started these bouquets, and these flowers started showing up. The comments and the feedback we got from that. So even to that extent, just seeing people's lives be brightened up. But one of the fascinating things I saw when I went in and I saw the actual volunteers in your warehouse is I saw some widows,
yeah,
and some people that had been through some tough knocks in life, like traumatic emotional things, that are right there. Their purpose for that however many hour shift they came in as a volunteer was to give back, and it seemed like their lives were being positively impacted too.
Yeah,
right?
This is a byproduct of the mission that I never expected. So I was always focused on the recipient in the healthcare facility. Mm-hmm. But what we quickly learned is that Random Acts of Flowers, it's almost become the new knitting circle for a lot of people. Most of our volunteers, not all, but most of them are women, you know, 45 to 85. They're empty nesters. There's widows. There's people who are actively involved in the community or retirees. And they have formed friendships. They've formed new communities. But what I've really learned is that Random Acts of Flowers is floral therapy at its finest. And that has a different meaning and purpose for everybody. So if you're a floral donor of ours and you just had a wedding and you want to recycle those with us, you're going to get something emotional out of knowing you helped the community through your celebration. If you just had a funeral and your family is mourning, you're going to get something emotionally out of knowing that you helped pass on the memory of that loved one to somebody else and made their day a little bit brighter. So even at the very beginning, through the entire process, and then the volunteer who was creating that bouquet knowing that it's going to go to somebody who is really having a hard day, it's therapy for everybody all along the process. And that's something I just never understood until, you know, very long into the, you know, setting up Random Acts of Flowers. But it's that human connection that the flowers has to emotion, to somebody that may be really in a hard spot, or somebody who just needs a little boost of energy.
Yeah. Well, so now fast forward a few years later, you have this rapidly growing mission Again, I can't help but call it a ministry.
It is, yeah.
And you've got a great supportive board. I know one of those board members, Dan Knorr, who's very well known in our space. He runs a huge outpatient therapy and rehabilitation program that serves our industry very well. You've put a lot of thought into this and even done some research on like the positive implications of what you're doing and that mission. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we get feedback all the time directly from the people we serve. So we, without a study or a medical study, we know the impact it makes day to day. We get calls, letters, emails, voicemails. A lot of times people say, you're the, you know, the only person who came to see me, or what a bright spot, or gave me hope or encouragement. But we also went through early on and said, you know, is there real science behind this? And we found studies at Harvard, Rutgers, UMass, you know, Kansas State, that all said that the giving of flowers has a positive emotional boost. It has a positive impact on somebody that can lead to better outcomes. It can reduce anxiety, stress. There's study after study after study that says even just displaying flowers near you gives you, you know, it lowers blood pressure and does all kinds of things. And then just recently, Pew Institute did a study, the Pew Research Center did a study that was all about senior isolation. And it talked about the importance of especially in the senior care community, that isolation factor and the amount of time that people spend alone. It was staggering to me. It was saying, you know, obviously isolation linked with negative health outcomes, you know, less cognitive stimulation, sedentary states, even medication regularity and medical emergencies. But like it said, that the study said 60-year-old plus seniors, it's 22% of the U.S. population, about 73 million people, and that's growing quickly, as you guys know. But 60-plus Americans are alone for more than half of their day.
Wow.
And then for those who live by themselves, it's even greater. It's 10 hours plus. So a third of those older adults report spending almost all their measurable time alone.
Wow.
And so imagine really a ministry like ours that has an opportunity to walk in the door with no strings attached. And this is the beauty of the program. We don't charge for the program. It's all privately funded or sponsored. And we literally have the opportunity to walk in and say, I don't want anything for you. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not preaching to you. I'm not asking you to sign a petition. I'm just saying that someone in this community cares, and there's an opportunity to have a better day by just keeping, you know, smiling and seeing these flowers. And it's really, really impactful on a core human level.
Well, so I love this. So, you know, Lucas, you and I get to talk to awesome people. We're blessed that we get to do this, not even as a day job. We just get to do this. And so we don't have to be paid to do this. We love doing this. And you're a prime example, Larson, of something that we love to showcase on our show. I've witnessed it from the receivership end of it and seeing how positive it is to our families that we serve. And I can vouch for it. I was never approached by anyone at Random Acts that said, hey, you know, make a donation because we brought you these flowers. And there's tons of volunteers needed.
Yeah.
This is a privately funded, this is a sponsor funded. So tell our listenership, what are some of the needs and how can people help meet needs of your organization?
Well, the primary need is support, financial and support from companies, private individuals, family foundations. That's it. There are so many flowers that come in readily, depending on the season, depending on, you know, the opportunities we have to connect with people. There are tons of flowers. There are amazing volunteers. I mean, we're 99% volunteer driven, and they come out of the woodwork every single week. And as you know, there are no shortage of people in the senior care facilities or healthcare facilities or hospitals to serve. So those are sort of never the barrier points. Really, the only barrier point is financial support and corporate support and sponsorship to be able to expand the program and sustain the program long term. As a nonprofit organization, we're sort of at the mercy of philanthropy. And since we don't want money to be the barrier between us serving the community and not. So we don't charge. We don't walk in and go, hey, would you like these flowers? Here's a, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's really that community support or that national support and somebody looking at this and saying, I value this as a part of the community and I want to support it going forward.
That's awesome. Well, I would encourage, you know, our listeners, if you're out there, We're actually going to make sure our listeners are connected with you in our show notes, because I know they're going to want to be talking to you about, hey, how can I volunteer? I know you're getting requests all across the country for people that are like, hey, how do we start this in our neck of the woods? How can we get an office here to where we can do this? Obviously, that oftentimes costs dollars.
Of course.
And so there's also a very generous audience we have out there that I know would love to rally around and figure out how in the world they could help get this going in their neighborhood and further your ministry. So, love that.
I don't understand why Random Acts of Valor couldn't and shouldn't be in every city across the country, if not in the world. We've mentored groups in London and Norway and Hong Kong and all around the country who are popping up and saying, we're inspired by what you do. How can we do it too? Because there's no shortage of flowers. There's no shortage of people that need that emotional boost and that mental health, positive impact. And so if we can be the catalyst in between the two, then we're helping solve a little bit of a problem. We're just, at the end of the day, we're not going to cure cancer. We're not going to build a building. We're not going to change education. You know, some of these massive social issues. But we're going to nudge the world in a really impactful way, just a little bit. And I think that's worth it's worth investing in kindness and compassion.
I love that.
Incredible. Larson J, Random Acts of Flowers, great conversation. I'm inspired by your story and inspired by the outcomes here. So thank you everybody for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.